Good morning, Harmony, and welcome to the Sunday morning online edition of the service of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and right now online is the only way we're having services until the 20th, and we're excited. We had to do a brief shutdown just to be to take some precautions, but on the 20th, we're excited about meeting together once again. And so this is the first in our Christmas series for 2020. And the title of the message is The King is Born. The King is Born, from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be able to gather online to worship you, and I do pray that you will bless this service, and I pray you'll bless the teaching of your word. I pray for all those who are sick. I pray for those dealing with COVID, and I pray for others that are struggling with other ailments, those struggling with cancer and other things, and we do pray that you would give healing. We pray for our shut-ins. We pray that you would bless. We pray that you would bless all those who are listening. And we pray for all the churches around the world that are meeting or meeting online and making decisions about what to do. And we pray you'll just bless our country and bless our church and give us peace and give us unity and give us strength. And help us to gain what we need during this Christmas season from your word. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So the King is born, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And the first thing we see is the King's decree in verses 1 through 3. The King's decree. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, Caesar Augustus is a very important figure in the history of the Roman Empire. The Encyclopedia Britannica says that Augustus, also known as Octavian, was the first emperor of ancient Rome. Augustus came to power after the assassination of Julius Caesar in 44 BCE. In 27 BCE, Augustus restored the Republic of Rome, though he himself retained all real power as the princeps, or first citizen, of Rome. And that from the Encyclopedia Britannica. And so Caesar was a very important figure, and he's forever memorialized in the Bible because he made this decree, and he was there at the birth of Christ. And so, the Caesar at the birth of Christ. So he makes this decree that all the world should be taxed. And the Bible says this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now, A.T. Robertson says that the census is a definite allusion by Luke to a census instituted by Augustus, the second of which is mentioned by him in Acts 5:37. So this taxation, this taxing, was a census that they were taking. And Robertson fixes the date of this census in 6 AD, which would make the birth of Christ taking place in 6 AD. Now, Smith's Bible Dictionary says of Cyrenius, he probably was twice governor of Syria. His first governorship extended to 4 BC, the year of Christ's birth. So they put the year of Christ's birth in 4 BC. Nobody's really certain. And so it was somewhere in that time because the calendar is off. The normal dating that we use is slightly off. Then Christ was actually born before what we would consider to be AD. So he was born either in 6 AD, 4, or rather 6 BC, 4 BC, 5 BC, somewhere in that range. But of Cyrenius, Smith's Bible Dictionary goes on to say his first governorship extended from BC 4 to BC 1. It was during this time that he was sent to make the enrollment, which caused Joseph and Mary to visit Bethlehem. The second enrollment is mentioned in Acts 5:37. So there's a disagreement about when these things took place, but at any rate, we know from the Bible and from historical records as well that this happened. These taxings, this census, the King James translates it taxing. And really, the censuses were used to gauge how many people they had so that they could determine their taxings. So that's what they used them for. They used them for the purposes of taxation. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. Robertson says each man went to the town where his family register was kept. And Vincent says the town to which the village or place of their birth belonged, and where the house and lineage of each were registered. So they kept these records and a family lineage, and they would go back to that town where they came from. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So now we see the king's birth in verses 4 through 7. So the king of the Roman Empire, Caesar Augustus, made a decree. But the greater king, King Jesus, is about to be born in Bethlehem. So we see the king's decree, that's Caesar Augustus, but now we see the greater king, Jesus Christ, and we look at the king's birth. Verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So both Joseph and Mary were descendants of David. Both go to this city to be taxed. And the Bible says Mary was his espoused wife. Now, the word espoused literally means betrothed. But A.T. Robertson says, but here it really means married, or espoused as in Matthew 1:24 shows. Otherwise, she could not have traveled with Joseph. Now, this is an interesting thing. It wouldn't have been proper for her to travel with him if they weren't actually married. And sometimes we, in fact, for years when I have preached, I have said, okay, well, she was betrothed, but they weren't actually married at this point. But no, that wouldn't have been proper. So they actually were married. Matthew 1:20, the Word of God says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And Matthew 1:24 says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now, they did not come together, the Bible says, in a physical relationship until she had delivered Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And remember that after they were betrothed or engaged, but before they were married, she was found with child, and Joseph thought about putting her away or divorcing her, but the angel of the Lord came and said, don't do that. Take her unto thee. Don't fear to take her as your wife. And so he took Mary as his wife. So they were married when they came to Bethlehem. So he comes to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Life Application Study Bible says swaddling clothes were strips of cloth which were used to keep a baby warm and give him a sense of security. These cloths were believed to protect the internal organs. The custom of wrapping infants this way is still practiced in many Mideastern countries. And so this was a medical purpose. And so he was wrapped in the swaddling clothes and laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now I want to focus on this phrase, there was no room for them in the inn. And I'm going to read from you a quote from Justin Martyr, who lived between 100 and 165 A.D., somewhere in there. And Justin Martyr says, there was no room for them in the inn. The word may also be translated guest chamber, as in Luke 22:11. But inn seems to be here the right rendering. There is another word for inn used in Luke 10:34, which implies an inn with a host. Bethlehem was a poor place, and its inn was probably a mere enclosed space surrounded by open recesses of which the paved floor is raised a little above the ground. There is often no host, and the use of any vacant space is free. But the traveler pays a trifle for food and water, etc. If the inn be crowded, the traveler must be content with a corner of the courtyard or enclosed place among the cattle or else in the stable. And Justin Martyr continues, the stable is often a limestone cave or grotto, and there is a very ancient tradition that says this was the case in the Inn of Bethlehem. So, Christ is born in this possibly a cave, this manger, laid in a manger, a trough where they would feed animals, because there was no room for them in the inn, and so that's where they had to stay. So this was the poorest of the poor place that you could stay when you came into town. You would have the free inn where you paid a little bit for the food and water. But if they didn't have room for you there, they would put you in the back in the stable. And that's the poorest of the poor, and that's where they stayed. Now contrast this king and his birth with King Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus is the ruler of the Roman Empire. And here's this baby born to a poor family, born in a feeding trough in a cave behind the inn. And yet, that little baby is the greater. He's the greater king. And now we see the king's citizens in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. John Gill says Bethlehem was a place of pasture near to Ephratah. The same with Bethlehem were the fields of the wood, Psalm 132:6, and the tower of Adar, or the tower of the flock, Genesis 35:21. And here David kept his father's sheep. 1 Samuel 17:15, so that we need not wonder to hear of shepherds here. This was a very historic place for shepherds to be, and these shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night, abiding in the fields. Now, it's interesting that the citizens of Christ's kingdom are by and large the common people, and when the announcement of the king's birth came to his citizens, these lowly shepherds were chosen to receive the news of Christ's birth. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29 says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." So the citizens of Christ's kingdom are by and large the common people. In fact, the Bible says in Mark 12:37, and the common people heard him gladly. So who heard Jesus Christ gladly? Who gave him opposition? Why, kings and the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers. But who heard him gladly? The common people. And it's still the same way. Of course, Christ saves rich people. Christ saves kings. Christ saves all kinds of people, but it's by and large the foolish things of this world that God hath chosen to confound the wise, and the weak things, and the base things. That's who God has chosen, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So we've seen the king's citizens. And now we see the king's messenger in verses 9 through 14. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. So the angel, of course, angels are messengers, heavenly messengers, and this is the king's messenger come to announce the birth of Christ to these lowly shepherds. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, now that heavenly host is a heavenly army. And so this angel army was with them, and they were all praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And now we see the king's city in verses 15 through 16. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So Bethlehem was the city of David. It's also the city of Christ. So the great king of Israel, David, historically the great king, still revered in Israel as one of their greatest kings, one of their greatest leaders, and then Jesus Christ. It's the city of both, the city of David, the city of Christ. Bethlehem means house of bread. And Thayer's says it was a village about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. So not very far from Jerusalem, but this was the city of the king. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What a place to find the King of Kings. What a place to find the King of Kings. They didn't find him in a palace. Herod sat in his palace, but Jesus did not. Caesar Augustus sat in his palace, but Jesus did not. The baby Jesus was born in a manger. That's where they found him. And it's interesting here, the scene. You have this poor family in the poorest of places to have a child. And the child is worshipped by these poor shepherds. All these lowly people for the reception of the King of Kings. And don't you know that Jesus loves the lowly and the downtrodden and the needy today. Jesus loves the poor. Jesus loves the outcast of society. He loves the drunk. He loves the drug addict. He loves the pill addict. He loves the prostitute. He loves the sinner today. Jesus is still the Savior of all of those. And he's just as available as he was to those shepherds. He's available today to everyone that will come to him by faith. Now we see the king's evangelist in verses 17 through 20. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And that's what we ought to do. We've seen Jesus by faith. We've seen him who is invisible. We've received him as Savior. We need to be evangelists for the King of Kings. We need to get the message out that Christ is born. Christ is here. And not only is he born, but he grew up. He became a man. He died on Calvary's cruel cross. He was buried and rose from the dead. And he'll save anyone who will turn to him by faith and trust him as their Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ offers salvation today, and we need to be evangelists of that. As Christians, as believers, we need to spread the message just like these shepherds did. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And when we spread the gospel, that's what should happen. People should be in awe of the message of salvation by grace through faith, through the sacrificial death of Christ. It should be something that they wonder at, that they're amazed by. And it is amazing, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So Mary quietly ponders all these things in her heart, thinking and considering everything that's just happened. And the shepherds, well, they return praising God. They go back to their fields, but their lives are forever changed because they have seen the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of God, and their lives have been altered, and they'll spread that message. And even to this day, they're spreading that message through the Christmas season. Every Christmas season, because God had this recorded in the Word of God, those shepherds spread the message of the birth of Christ. And that's what we need to do. We need to spread the message of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not just his birth, because we know the rest of the story. We need to spread the message of his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead, and salvation by faith in him. Are you listening to this today and you've got loved ones, relatives, friends, co-workers that aren't saved? Do you need to take the gospel to them this week? There's no time like the Christmas season to carry the gospel. Are you listening to this today and you've never been saved? There's no time like today to be born again. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by faith today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people that are listening. I thank you for this message. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for what you're showing us through your word and how like these shepherds, we can carry the message of the birth of Jesus Christ to the world. And I pray that we do that this Christmas season. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.